ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम दिस मॉर्निंग कैंटो 10 चैप्टर नंबर 54 एंटाइटल्ड द मैरिज ऑफ कृष्ण एंड रुक्मिणी टेक्स्ट नंबर 36 and 37. So on the board we have text 37 actually. This is 37 text. So I'll just read first the 36 and then we can recite text 37. Krishna itikam upvrajya dadrishu tat rukminam tatha bhautam hata prayam drishtva sankarshano vibhu विमुच्य बद्धम करुणो भगवान कृष्णम अब्रवीत। ट्रांसलेशन। एज द यदूस अप्रोच्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा, दे सॉ रुक्मिणी इन दिस सॉरी कंडीशन, प्रैक्टिकली डाइंग ऑफ रुक्मी इन दिस सॉरी कंडीशन, प्रैक्टिकली डाइंग ऑफ शेम। व्हेन द ऑल पावरफुल लॉर्ड बलराम सॉ रुक्मी, he compassionately released him and spoke the following to Lord Krishna. So now we come to text 37. Asadva idam tvaya Krishna kritam asamajjugupsitam vapanam shamashru keshana वैरूप्यं सुहृदो वदः असाद्वैदं त्वया कृष्ण कृतं असमज्जुगुप्सितं वपुनं शमश्रुकेशाना वैरूप्यं सुहृदो वदः असाद्वैदं त्वया कृष्ण कृतं असमज्जुगुप्सितं वपनं शमश्रुकेशाना वैरूप्यं सुहृदो वदः। असाध्व इदं त्वया कृष्ण कृतं असमज्जुगुप्सितं वपनं शमश्रुकेशानां। माताजी, असाधु improperly, idam, this, tvaya, by you, Krishna, O Krishna, kritam, done, asmat, for us, jugupsitam, terrible, vapanam, the shaving, shamashru keshana, of his mustache and hair, vairupyam, the disfigurement, suhridaha, of a family member, vadaha, death. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Balaram said, my dear Krishna, you have acted improperly. This deed will bring shame on us. For to disfigure a close relative by shaving off his mustache and hair is as good as killing him. Purport. Omniscient Balaram knew that Rukmi was the guilty party, but to encourage the lamenting Rukmini, he decided to gently reproach Sri Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshratarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatharine. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this most wonderful pastime of the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. And we are on a section where Krishna has come, kidnapped Rukmini Devi, and is fighting eventually with Rukmi. And now here Rukmi has been thoroughly defeated, and on the plea of Sri Rukmini Devi, Krishna spares his life, but do give him a transcendental shaving. That is, as beautifully depicted in this picture here on the board. So Krishna shaved him with his nice, leaving half his mustache and nice, like, tufts of hair on his head. So gave him this wonderful, the Rukmi cut, the famous Rukmi cut. Of course, which nowadays has become a fashion also. But anyway, so that was, for a Kshatriya, that was considered to be a great shame. And herein, Balaramji comes into the picture, and these verses which we are reading are spoken by Sri Balaramji, chastising Krishna and coming here and pacifying Sri Rukmini Devi. We see this is one of the most beautiful and exciting, one sense exciting, enlivening, purifying, heroic marriage ceremony. Probably the most discussed marriage ceremony in the entire creation. So far, people are proud. People want to exhibit their power, about their strength, about their wealth. We see so many marriages all over the India, especially. I don't know about West. Of course, that culture is going here also. But people want to show off. We see in the marine lines so many big, huge marriage halls, spending thousands and millions of rupees or dollars all over the country, just want to show off. But nobody can match this marriage ceremony of Krishna and Rukmini, where such wonderful pastimes, most beautiful pastimes, which purify us, enliven us, such exciting suspense. Everything is there in this most wonderful leela. And the sages and the great renunciates also have been discussing this marriage party or marriage ceremony for years and years and thousands of years, or millions of years now. So that is the beauty of Krishna. When he does something, he does the best. Yeah. So when he does something, Krishna does to the best. See, when Indra married Rukmini Devi, he was the best of all the marriages. And the way he kidnapped, as we were hearing in the last few narrations, wonderfully how different devotees spoke, how Krishna actually kidnapped. He just went in very peacefully, slowly he went in, just kidnaps and walks away. So that is the best. That's what Krishna is. Whenever he does, whatever he does, it's the best. His stealing is the best, his kidnapping is the best, his walking is the best. His walking, his gait, when he walks, sometime back we were in Srirangam, one devotee had made a CD of, there are like 18 different ways, the gati of Krishna, the gaja gati, the sarpa gati, like that, different gates of Krishna. So whatever Krishna does, that is the best. His talking is the most sweet. When he sings, that is the best. When he dances, nobody can match Krishna's dancing. Even the peacocks would feel ashamed. They would all assemble around. When Krishna would dance, they will all in Sri Brajbhumi would gather around on the Sri Giriraj and see Krishna dancing and feel embarrassed. Wow, this is someone who is dancing more beautiful. And when Krishna danced on Kaliya, that was the best. Who can dance on such a moving, lively floor? So that is what Krishna is, the best. He is the most wonderful, heroic, lovable personality in the creation. So that is what here, this beautiful pastime also. This is a wonderful, like, rubbing relationship. Krishna is another thing that beautiful, this pastimes, many devotees shared wonderful, wonderful pastimes. This pastime has been discussed so many times by so many devotees. Even, I don't know, I met few devotees yesterday, those who had come from Pune, they were sharing how, actually, Gaur Gopalpur shared this pastime. He says, but such enlivening pastime when he narrated this whole Rukmini Vivah, this Samvad. So the point is that no Hollywood or Bollywood movie or anyone can match the Krishna's transcendental activities or leelas. Even they want to copy these pastimes, but still, when spoken with great realizations from devotees, when we hear that, that becomes much more powerful influence and has an impact. So anyways, this wonderful ceremony, Krishna shows many wonderful lessons. And one of the things which Krishna shows is that he is ready to go to any extent to please his devotees, to serve. He is called as Ranchor because Krishna ran away from Jarasandha and Kalyavan and delivered Muchukund. And eventually he had to come here to kidnap Sri Rukmini Devi. So that is what this beautiful pastime is all about. Serving the Lord, pleasing the Lord, and the Lord's desire to serve his devotees and please his devotees. And herein, Sri Balaramji, the Guru Tattva representative, he is always eager to serve. He was not called. When Krishna left with the Brahmana, he left alone. And Balaramji came with his Yadu army. He knew Krishna will need some help. It's going to be a fight. So he comes with Yadu army and he protects and serves Krishna. So that is the mood of Balaramji, and specifically in these two verses. Apparently, as evident from this verse, he is actually mildly reproaching Krishna, chastising Krishna. But that is the role of Sri Balaramji, always anxious, eager to support Krishna's pastimes. As Lakshmanji is serving him for 14 years and throughout his life, as Nityananda Prabhu, always eager to serve. That is the mood of Sri Guru, that always eager to assist in the pastimes or facilitate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. If herein it was required to chastise, to pacify Rukmini Devi, Balaramji took that role. So that is the role of Sri Balaramji, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And Chaitanya Bhagavat wonderfully describes how Balaramji himself expands into various ways in the 10 forms, in the form of his Sakhat, Krishna's brother, the Bhai, the Vyajan, the fan of Krishna, the Shayan, the bed, the transcendental bed of Krishna, which is the moving live bed. And then Krishna's carrier, Garudji, is empowered by Sri Balaramji. And the residence of Krishna, the umbrella of Krishna, the vastra, the clothing of Krishna, the ornaments of Krishna, the sitting place of Krishna. So Balaramji is teaching by his own example that how he is always engaged in glorifying Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, his master, and serving him in whatever ways it is possible. Wherever, however, it is required to do service, Sri Balaramji, Sri Nityananda Prabhu is there all the time to serve Krishna. So this is the message which Balaramji is teaching us through his wonderful pastimes and herein also. Anyways, I was thinking of describing something from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, which depicts also this mood of how the Lord is so eager to serve his devotees and how devotees are so eager to reciprocate with the desires of the Lord, and how the only desire of the devotees is to serve and please the Lord and nothing else. They don't want anything else. Anyway, I'll just begin with one of the prayers which is connected to this pastime. So I'll just begin with this and then probably go back and have a flashback on what's happening. So this is Mukunda's prayers, one of the beautiful pastimes which is happening in Shriva's Angan. Shriva's Angan is very, very important, and it's like the Rasasthali of Sri Navadvip. The Krishna's Leela Rasasthali is translated in Sri Mahaprabhu's Leela as Shriva's Angan. Mahaprabhu performed such wonderful kirtans during the day, during the night, with his most confidential devotees. That is the Shriva's Angan. Mahaprabhu would spend hours chanting, dancing, and we can imagine the beautiful dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, all the associates with Mukunda and all the wonderful devotees with great devotion when they would sing and dance. Actually, we cannot even imagine what that beautiful festival be. We have a slight experience of some kirtan melas for a day or two, and recently I was talking to one devotee, he was sharing his realization that best part of his life was when he attended the kirtan mela recently in Sridhar Mayapur. So these kirtan melas give us such enlivening experience to the best of the kirtaniyas singing for hours and hours, and devotees wonderfully dancing in the front of Sri Radha Madhav or Radha Gopinath deities. And so that's the best experience. And we can imagine the greatest of all the devotees, the Lord, Supreme Lord himself in his most beautiful golden complexion form, long arms, dancing with Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the most beautiful forms and the most ecstatic of and the most devotional kirtan and happening from day in and day out and in the night also. So what that will be like an endless kirtan mela experience into infinitum. We can't even imagine. So anyways, one of these pastimes was happening, and then all the devotees were being showered mercy. We'll come back to the later. This how Mahaprabhu restored mercy. And one of the pastimes when the mercy is, the Lord is calling upon all the devotees and offering them blessings and giving them blessings and whatever benedictions they wanted. So one devotee was held behind always. And Lord called for all the devotees. Of course, we cannot describe how he called all the devotees, unlimited number of devotees, and such wonderful reciprocations the Lord had. The Lord in this beautiful pastime was describing the past life of each and every devotee. How you acted in your past life, how I came to serve you, help you, and protected you. So that is the Lord. When there is love, so when there is love, that remembrance is always there. That is a beautiful point. It's not that the Mahaprabhu had to call, bring my hard drive, I have to look into a database which devotee did this in his last life and how did I reciprocate with him and how he did, and like, or he had his supercomputer with him googling on his Wikipedia, oh, this is his past life of this devotee, or LinkedIn profile was there for all the devotees. No, Mahaprabhu remember each and every interaction which he had in the last lives, in all the lives. That is the love of the Supreme Lord. When there is element of love, then that remembrance is there all the time. in our own tiny experiences. Each one of us experience with some interactions with exalted personalities. Even one time you meet them and they remember you and they remember the whole interactions we have heard from the great souls of certain events which they were shared, like after 15, 20, 30 years, they remember exactly what they did. It's the element of love that brings out that remembrance. That is the love of the Supreme Lord for each one of us. He remembers what we did yesterday, today, what we are going to do tomorrow, and what we did in our past lives also. And here in this beautiful pastime of Saptaprahari Alila, the Mahaprakash Lila, Mahaprabhu was revealing all the devotees. He didn't have a laptop or a computer or a hard drive where thinking about what is happening, but that was the love of the Supreme Lord. No database. That was there in the heart of the Lord. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.in. It was inside his heart. All the love of the devotees and all the devotees were there. So anyways, coming back to Mukunda, one of the most devotional kirtaniyas at that time. And when the Abhishek happened, we will come to that later. He was the one who was singing that kirtan that time, Mukunda. And all the devotees are being called one after another, and Mukunda is not there. And Mukunda is hiding behind a curtain and thinking, why is the Lord not calling me? And all the devotees who were there, Srivas Thakur and all the devotees were anxious. Why is the Lord not calling Mukunda? What has he done? We don't remember any offense or any aparad what he has done. Why is the Lord neglecting him? And finally, Srivas Thakur takes in courage and he goes to ask Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, you have given mercy to all the devotees assembled. You have called for devotees. Why is that you have left out Mukunda? And Mukunda was hiding and crying and hearing this conversation. And Mahaprabhu basically then began to explain. Srivas Thakur was saying, Mahaprabhu is such a wonderful devotee. You relish his kirtan so much. But why you have not called him? Why have you neglected him? Even if he has done some mistake or offended you, you can chastise him. But at least not neglect him. Because neglect is much worse than chastising. So then Mahaprabhu remains quiet and then he addresses Srivas and all the devotees that do not talk about Mukunda at all. What he has done, he keeps a straw in his mouth and then he hit with a danda on my head. And then Mahaprabhu explains that when he is with Advaitacharya and all of you, he is like a humble, he glorifies devotional service, he glorifies the devotees, glorifies the Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu. But when he goes to the other sampradayas, he becomes their part and then minimize devotional service. And then Mahaprabhu says, I am not happy with anyone who minimizes the position of devotional service. So in this way, Mahaprabhu was very upset that why he has. So then when he hears, Mukunda hears this heartbreaking words from Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he cries, his heart broke down completely, and he decides that what is the use of this useless body if I cannot come in front of Mahaprabhu and serve Sriman Mahaprabhu and sing for his pleasure. Let me give up my body. And then he calls for Srivas and expresses his grief and tells that at least ask Mahaprabhu, when will I see him? And Srivas Thakur goes, he comes in front of Mahaprabhu and asks, Mahaprabhu, at least when will you give your darshan to Mukunda? And Mahaprabhu angrily said, he will not see me. He will see me after a million lifetimes. So all the devotees were anxious and they were crying to hear this harsh remark, apparently harsh. But when Mukunda heard, he had tears in his eyes. He was in great ecstasy. Oh, I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord. That was his eagerness and determination. He was so happy. He had such complete faith that I will see the Lord. I will see Sriman Mahaprabhu one day. And then seeing this, Mahaprabhu called for him. When Mahaprabhu heard his eagerness, his faith in his words and his eagerness, Mahaprabhu actually called for him that bring him now immediately. All the devotees went to Mukunda, lifted him. He was in ecstasy. He fainted that Mahaprabhu is calling. He didn't hear. They had to lift him and physically actually bring in and put him right in front of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is saying, by your eagerness you have won me. all your offense which you have done or which you have committed, which was supposed to take millions of life, by your eagerness, by your determination and your faith in my words have been nullified. You can see me now. And then Mukunda, when he heard, he was lamenting, he was crying. In crying, and Mahaprabhu asked him, Mukunda, get up, please get up. And then Mukunda offers these wonderful prayers that, my dear Lord, I do not have the power to actually see you. I did not have any devotion to you. That's why I was unable to see you. And he gives various examples. My dear Lord, what is the use of seeing you when there is no devotion in the heart? You may be seeing, I may be seeing you, but if there is no devotion, what is the use of that seeing? Duryodhana was able to see the universal form of the Lord, but still he wanted to kill you, my dear Lord. The boar, when you incarnated as a boar incarnation, and you lifted the earth, all the demigods, Brahma, Lord Shiva, they wanted to see your transcendental form. But then, Hiranyaksha, he was not happy to see your form. And when Narasimhadev, he appeared, Prahlad Maharaj was happy, eager, satisfied to see your form. But Hiranyakashipu had no devotion, my dear Lord. What was the devotion of washerman in Mathura? He did pious activities for many lives to see the Lord, but no devotion in his heart. So what was the result? So my dear Lord, I have no devotion which is there in my heart. So in this way, he is lamenting, and then he says this, that, my dear Lord, I do not have even a fraction of love and affection for you. And then he says that, I'm so wretched that I haven't accepted devotional service. How simply seeing with you love will actually bring fruits to seeing you actually. And then he gives this example. Then when Krishna actually came to kidnap Rukmini Devi, all the kings, they saw you on Garudaji. They saw the Abhishek of yours being performed, which is a rare sight for even Brahmaji and Lord Shiva in Vidarbha, when this wonderful Abhishek, and when the Lord, all the kings saw you. But they were still, since they didn't have devotion unto you, they were ready to kill you. Mukunda was crying all this while he's offering his wonderful prayers. And then Mahaprabhu became very happy, and Mahaprabhu told him that, you have been my devotee for many, many lives. You do not have any fraction of offense. All the faults of your bad association have been evaporated in moments. You are my singer all throughout eternity, and wherever I go, you will be there with me to sing for me and always please me. When all the devotees, when they heard, they all started glorifying, Jai, Jai. So all the devotees were saying, Jai, Jai, Jai. So in this way, the great ecstasy arose, and tumultuous kirtan was happening, and Mukunda was in great ecstasy. Of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur offers this wonderful prayers that anyone who hears this pastime of getting deliverance of Mukunda and Mukunda's wonderful prayers will also become an eternal associate of Sriman Mahaprabhu and become a singer in the party of Mahaprabhu. So that was one of my reasons to speak this pastime. Anyways, to become a singer for Mahaprabhu. Anyways, so that was the beautiful pastime which would happen in Srivas Angan. Let's get back to now, to Srivas Angan again, and the beginning of Mahaprakash Leela, how it will began. As we were describing, beautiful pastimes would take place. Mahaprabhu would perform his wonderful kirtans in Srivas Angan. And many times, most of the times when he would dance in the mood of a servant. He would all with devotees, he would be with like a servant. But sometimes he would exhibit his opulence and reveal to the devotees that he is the Supreme Lord. But then most of the times when he would do that, he would be pretending as if he doesn't know anything external what is happening. It will be just an internal ecstasy, which he would actually pretend that he doesn't know what's happening around. But this time when the Mahaprakash Leela happened, he actually gave up all his pretension and he acted as the Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu. He sat on the throne of Vishnu. He sat there, spread his arms, and then he glanced at everyone and said, chant the prayers of Abhishekam. And then everyone started chanting the prayers, and when Mahaprabhu glanced, then everyone understood that this is, now we have to perform the Abhishek ceremony for their lordships. So that is the language of love. Mahaprabhu didn't have to tell. Just by the glance of Mahaprabhu, the message was communicated. That is, you do not need language. Language is not a barrier when the language of love doesn't need any, what do you call it, script or any words to be spoken. It is just through the glance Mahaprabhu conveyed. And all of them eagerly went to the Ganges and started bringing those pots and pots of Ganges water. They initially thought 108, but Vrindavan Das Thakur describes, nobody knew how many pots of water was brought. The famous story of Dukhi comes in, she is bringing wonderful pots and keeping aside for all the devotees to bathe Mahaprabhu. And all the devotees were chanting the Purusha Shukta. The first Abhishek in the manifest pastimes of Sriman Mahaprabhu is happening. Everyone was so excited, chanting, dancing and singing and rolling on the ground and bringing unlimited amounts of Ganges water, purifying it and then offering it on Sriman Mahaprabhu. What a wonderful festival that would be, the first Abhishekam. All the devotees were there with hundreds and thousands of pots. We can imagine. Here is the wonderful festival. Of course, we remember, some of us, those who were there, the first Abhishek which happened in Radha Madhav's huge Panchatattva temple. It was such an extraordinary, wonderful experience. Hundreds and thousands of gallons of water and different juices, and such excitement was there all over. Those who were there can remember, or those who have seen the videos. Huge excitement was there that who will perform the Abhishek, and when the Abhishek was there, the curtain opened, the wonderful darshan was there, the beautiful Abhishek was happening, and unlimited amounts of Charnamrit. And I actually saw a few devotees drinking like a liters of Charnamrit and intoxicated and just lying down and unable to get up. That was the ecstasy which all the devotees, that day was filled with ecstasy, those who were there would have experienced. So we can imagine how, when Mahaprabhu personally was there sitting on the throne of Vishnu and Abhishek was happening, what was the ecstasy of all the devotees that were present in. And even the Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, all the Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, they disguised themselves as human beings to perform the Abhishekam. The same thing we remember, even when they did the Mayapur, there were like many meetings were held who would perform the Abhishek. So the demigods didn't want to miss this first live Mahaprabhu sitting on the throne of Lord Vishnu. So that was there also, but of course everyone was, when the Abhishek began, it was Nityananda Prabhu who actually first took the Ganges water and poured over the transcendental head of Sriman Mahaprabhu, the head of all the devotees. And it is described that even if somebody offers a drop of water mentally on the lotus feet of the Lord, he doesn't have to see this world again. Such transcendental benefits awaits him. And what to speak of all those devotees and all the servants of Srivas Thakur who were assisting him, serving him, were allowed to bathe Sriman Mahaprabhu. That is the Vrindavan Das Thakur elaborately describes the mercy which all the servants and the maidservants in the house of Srivas Thakur and the acharyas give the purports. How just by meanly serving the devotees, such rarest of rare opportunities come upon us. So then, finally, after the Abhishek, the devotees bathed the beautiful form of Sriman Mahaprabhu. They dressed him, offered wonderful sandalwood, fragrant sandalwood paste, and all those 16 upcharas, the padyas, the arghyas, the achmana, the gandha, the pushpa, the dhupa, the pradipa, the Naivedya, Vastra, Abhushan, all those 16 upcharas by which we worship the deities are offered to Sriman Mahaprabhu personally by all the devotees. One by one, different devotees would come. Somebody would offer chandan, somebody would offer deep, somebody would offer pushpa, somebody would offer ornaments, somebody would offer flowers. So like that, everyone, and then different devotees offered the Tulasi Manjari on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord Mahaprabhu was just glancing with his lotus eyes mercifully on each and every devotee, and everyone was completely satisfied and pacified. And after the Abhishek, after the upcharas were offered, everyone offered obeisances to Sriman Mahaprabhu, and then wonderfully prayers were recited by all the devotees. He was glorified, wonderful prayers by Advaita Acharya and all the devotees, that you are the father of the Sankirtan, you are the Patita Pavan, you are a Guna Sindhu, the reservoir of all the transcendental qualities, you are Dina Bandhu, you are Rama Kant, the lover of Sri Lakshmi Devi, you are Adosha Drishti. In this way, unlimited ways, unlimited prayers were offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sriman Mahaprabhu, on this beautiful... It was a wonderful sight. The Vaikuntha Chudamani, one who is the crest jewel of Sri Vaikuntha, was sitting right there on the Vaikuntha throne, the Vishnu throne, being worshipped by various jewels. When all the paraphernalia, what was there to offer him, all the devotees were offering. And then Mahaprabhu extends his palm and then he says, Kichu deho khai. I want to eat something, offer me something to eat. So all these upcharas are done, at least now something. Offer me something to eat. So Mahaprabhu extends his palm. Wow. This is, so when you are offering, imagine the Lord personally extending his arm, Kichu deho khai. And Mahaprabhu is asking, give me something to eat, give me something. So all the devotees, those who were there, they were starting whatever was there in the house of Srivast Thakur, the butter, the yogurt, the condensed milk, the soaked moong dal, whatever cooked preparations. And then all of the devotees actually went out to the market to buy whatever the sweetmeats, sandesh, barfi, rasgulla, rasmalai, whatever you can think of, whatever items those were there, they actually went out, purchased the yogurt, pots of yogurt, the dal, whatever was there was offered to Sriman Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu just in one gulp, accepting all, hundreds and thousands of dozens of bananas were offered and Mahaprabhu gulped in one stroke. I don't know whether Murari Gupta was there or not, an Ayurvedic physician probably would think whether to offer milk or dahi together or whatnot. But anyway, this is transcendental Lord. That's the Lord's body is transcendental. Nobody can imitate somebody who wants... Many people in this world, the so-called gurus, they want to claim to be God and want to have their abhishekam being performed, unfortunately. But see you if they can do that. If you can eat unlimited bhoga, which is being offered, thousands of dozens of bananas and hundreds of liters of milk and hundreds of liters of dahi and... buttermilk and rubberies and everything else, then you are qualified to get your abhishekam performed. If you cannot, then humbly offer obeisances and be a part of doing the abhishekam of the Lord. So different sweets were being offered to the Lord. I don't know, Vandana Sagar specifically mentioned one particular sweet they would offer was that coconut malai. They would take out that and put some sugar in that and offer, and Mahaprabhu would very lovingly accept that offering of love. And then that's how this whole pastime begins, as we were telling before. Then Mahaprabhu called for each devotee out of affection, out of his love, remembering the past life of each and every one of them without any whatever database or something. He was there, he was remembering each one of them. That is Krishna's love and Krishna's compassion. Whatever gigabytes or terabytes of data is there in his heart, out of love for each one of us. That is his manifestation of love for each one of us. And then first of all, Mahaprabhu calls for Srivast Thakur. Of course, many pastimes Mahaprabhu discusses, but then one of the times Srivast, Mahaprabhu is calling for Srivast. Do you remember when you were walking on the streets of Navadvip and then you heard, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam recitation of Devananda Pandit, you went inside to hear the transcendental nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam? And while you were hearing those words of Srimad Bhagavatam, you were experiencing joy and ecstasy and tears were coming from your eyes and you were trembling, and all the disciples of Devananda Pandit thinking you are disturbing their whole katha, their study, they took you. And Devananda Pandit, as ignorant as his disciples, did not object. And they just threw you out and you were crying and crying. And then you came home crying. Mahaprabhu was asking, do you remember Srivas? And then, seeing your pain and agony when you went home, I appeared in your heart and gave you the ecstasy of Srimad Bhagavatam. You were rolling in ecstasy, you were crying, the tears were rolling from your eyes, the angan became wet. Do you remember? In this way, Mahaprabhu was remembering him and how I personally came in to relieve your distress and induce transcendental ecstasy. And all the devotees were glorifying and were very, very happy when Mahaprabhu was calling each devotee and they were calling out, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. That has to wake up. Anyways, so that's how Mahaprabhu would do that, call each devotee. And then he called for Gangadas Pandit and he said, you remember Gangadas? One time when you were about, when the Muslims were attacking you and the whole kingdom, and you were running away with your wife and children, with your family members and daughters, and then you went, you were running, enemy came to the shore of the river, and there was no boatman. You were looking for a boatman for a long, long time, and nobody came, and you were thinking better to drown now rather than having been caught by these Malechas and Yavanas. And then Mahaprabhu tells, I left my Vaikuntha and came there and became a boatman and took you apart across the river. So like that, he was calling out for Gangadas. And then, of course, when all this was happening in great transcendental ecstasy, different devotees were offering various food articles. Mahaprabhu is eating, like, the same time giving darshan, and so a whole beautiful, wonderful pastime was happening. So anyways, in this way, they're calling for all the devotees, and then finally, one time the Lord calls for Sridhar. He addresses all the devotees, bring Sridhar to this Angan. And then everyone is looking at, who is this Sridhar? Nobody has heard this name, Sridhar. So then they ask Mahaprabhu, who is this Sridhar? Where do we find him? So he doesn't give a lane number or house number or colony number or whatever number. Mahaprabhu tells him that go to the streets, and in the corner of the street, when you hear the holy names of my being chanting in great ecstasy, go to that place and you will find Sridhar there in his home. Bring him, and I want to meet him. I want to bless him. And then Mahaprabhu, while the devotees had gone to look for Sridhar and bring him, Mahaprabhu describes that, hear something about Sridhar. He was a simple kholavich who was sell kela. Many times he didn't have. It was not that he had his own kela trees also. He would buy one kela tree, take out the trunk, take out that stem, sell that, have the banana flowers or sometimes bananas. So whatever was there, Mahaprabhu was describing that he was there. And then he was such a truthful, Mahaprabhu himself is glorifying that Sridhar was like truthful, like a Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was the businessman. Oh, of course, doesn't make sense, truthful businessman. But that's what Mahaprabhu said in the context of Sridhar. Because it's not possible to be truthful and businessman. But then that was Sriman Sridharji. He was very, very truthful, honest, as Mahaprabhu personally glorifies. And in his pastime, when he was exhibiting his pastimes of Nimai Pandit, of scholarly pastimes, Sriman Mahaprabhu would go every day to the shop or whatever he had, just a small carpet of fruits and whatever things which he was selling. And Mahaprabhu would spend hours together with arguing with him for the price of the banana, and he would sell for the cheapest price because he was living such a simple life. As many times we have heard, his clothes would be torn with holes in it, more holes than the actual cloth piece, and then his hut would be like the water would be dripping inside. And so that was the condition of Sridhar. So whatever little he was earning, he would give 50% of that income to service of Mother Ganges. So that was his devotion. And then Mahaprabhu glorifies that it is, and of course when they would have like a Mahaprabhu would go and argue that this is the price, so why are you charging so high price, and then give it to me for half. And then Mahaprabhu would hold the banana leaf flower from his hand and Sridhar would hand, and they will have tug of war with each other, who will hold. And then Mahaprabhu would many times tell him, do you know who I am? But then just by seeing the beautiful form, the enchanting form of the Lord as Nimai Pandit, the Brahmana, beautiful dhoti tucked in three places, the curly hair, the beautiful Brahmin thread being put, and seeing that form, Sridhar would many times go away, and Sridhar would say, my dear Lord, I am simply your dog. And Mahaprabhu would say many times, Sridhar, by selling these bananas, I know you have amassed so much wealth which you have hiding in your kutir. And Mahaprabhu, of course, this is not this time, but one time he told that all the devotees that one day I will reveal to you the real wealth of Sridhar. So in this way he would have such a wonderful loving exchange, argue, and then Mahaprabhu would send time some. Anyways, you spend half of your money for worshipping Ganga. You know who I am? I am from whose lotus feet Mother Ganges is emanating. And when Sridhar would hear that, he would say, Vishnu, Vishnu, my dear Lord, my dear Brahmana, why do you say so? And then he would say, I am the source of Mother Ganges. And then Sridhar would get like angry and he would say, oh, you just take away all this and run away from here. I don't want to take any money from you. Just go away. Anyway, this is, but important to notice what we are hearing is not some, what do you say, bargaining exchange from a Crawford market. This is something very, very transcendental. We all experience these type of exchanges, but this is not something like that of exchange when you go to a shop and then he says 100 rupees and you says 20 and then you start walking and then he calls you back. No, this is something different. It's a pure love reciprocation happening. This is on a transcendental platform. It's not something mundane bargaining which is happening. It's exchange of highest ecstasy is the purest of all the love of Sridhar and the Supreme Lord, Sriman Mahaprabhu. Every day Mahaprabhu would eat from his plate. Most of the days Mahaprabhu would eat from Sridhar's leaf. You can imagine the fortune of Sridhar. The Mahaprabhu personally, when he was there in Navadvip, he was eating from the leaf plate which was coming from Sridhar. That is the branding. You know, nowadays like if some big personality or a big hero uses some particular brand or something, it becomes like a big hype that he is using this or whatever brand. So this was Mahaprabhu's branding, leaf plate coming from Sridhar. He could have advertised, oh, Mahaprabhu is eating from my brand, buy my banana leaves. No, not like that. That was a pure transcendental exchange of love that was there, of Sridhar's love. So anyway, when Sridhar was brought in front, when he heard, he actually fainted right there when the devotees asked that Mahaprabhu is calling for, he faints there. And then actually they have to lift him up and bring him right in front of Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu says, Sridhar, get up and have my darshan, take my darshan. And then this beautiful darshan of what we see in this wonderful painting is being revealed to Sridhar with Krishna, Sri Balaramji on his right, and Brahmaji, Sanakadi, and Lord Shiva, and Naradji all offering wonderful prayers. So this beautiful darshan which Sridhar was offered. And when he saw that beautiful transcendental form of Sri Krishna and Balaram, he fainted. And Mahaprabhu again wakes him up. Sridhar, get up, offer some prayers to me. I am ready to give all the 8 mystic perfections what you want. I am ready to give you now. And Sridhar says, my dear Lord, I have no ability to offer any prayers to you. Mahaprabhu says, your words are more than prayers. You just speak something, that is the nature of love. When a lover says something, like as we hear, the gopis' chastisement was more dear to the Lord than the Vedic hymns. Mahaprabhu is saying here, whatever you speak, Sridhar, is great glorification, is most pleasing prayers to me. And then Sridhar, in his great humility, of course by the desire of Sriman Mahaprabhu and the love of Sridhar, Saraswati Devi personally appeared on the tongue of Sridhar and spoke these wonderful prayers in glorifying Mahaprabhu. He's saying, all glories to Sriman Mahaprabhu, all glories to Vishwambar, all glories to Navadvip Purandar, all glories to one who is unknown even by the Vedas, all glories to the best of the Brahmanas. And then he's glorifying, my dear Lord, you are the dharma, tumi karma, tumi bhakti, tumi jnana, tumi shastra, tumi ved, tumi sarva dhyana. You are the siddhi, tumi riddhi, you are siddhi, you are bhoga, you are yoga, you are shraddha, you are daya, you are moh, you are lobe, you are everything, my dear Lord, you are bhakti, you are mukti. In this way, Sridhar is glorifying the Lord. And then he's saying, my dear Lord, you are Indra, Surya, Chandra, Brahma, Shiva. But then he says, oh my dear Lord, no. They are all subordinate to you. How can I compare them to you? So in this way, Sridhar in great ecstasy is offering these wonderful prayers. And then Sridhar is remembering all the devotees in the past. He's saying, my dear Lord, how Bhishma Dev, he made you out of his affection and love, made you to conquer and break his vow, and how Satyabhama, because you became a henpecked husband for her love, and how the Braj Gopis were making you dance. In this way, the same devotion, Sriman Mahaprabhu, you have come here to give all the people of this world in Kali Yuga, and now there will be many such people because of your blessings. All these people will get this devotion, wonderful devotion in their heart, and they will bind you by their love. And Mahaprabhu is again saying, ask for some benediction. I am ready to give you Ashta Siddhis. Sridhar is saying, my dear Lord, please don't deceive me again. I could not recognize you, but please do not deceive me again. And then Mahaprabhu says, but my darshan cannot be fruitless. Sridhar, ask something for me. Sridhar says, my dear Lord, please be patient. Please pacify. But then he says, my dear Lord, I just want that benediction, that the same Brahmana which would come to my shop every day and would quarrel with me, let me always constantly be able to serve him, able to serve him all the time, all the time. That is my only goal or desire. And then Mahaprabhu says, forget the siddhis, I want to give you a huge kingdom to worship and to rule and control. And then Sridhar says, my dear Lord, I don't need any kingdom or ashta siddhis. I just want only and only one desire, that I may constantly chant your holy names. So in this way, Mahaprabhu was so pleased. Mahaprabhu says that you are my eternal servant. You have been serving me for lifetimes. And because of my being my servant, you are able to see my real opulences. That devotion which you have is unknown even to the Vedas. I grant you that benediction. So in this way, all the devotees became so happy and jubilant when Mahaprabhu granted this benediction. And then, of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a warning in this pastime that one should be very careful not to judge a devotee based on his material standards or upbringing or how he has been raised. So in this way, Mahaprabhu blesses all the devotees, and then finally, one time he calls for Nada or Advait Acharya. He was calling out loud, where are you, Nada? Where are you, Advait Acharya? And he comes in front, and Mahaprabhu says, ask for a benediction. And then Advait Acharya humbly says, my dear Lord, my benediction has already been fulfilled. We know it was the calling of Sripada Advait Acharya that Mahaprabhu appeared, and Mahaprabhu said that Advait Acharya said that, my dear Lord, my calling has been already answered. So in this beautiful pastime, which we see how the Lord actually is reciprocating with all his devotees, eager to serve Sridhar, eager to serve Gangadas, coming as a boatman, coming appearing in the heart of Srivas Thakur to give him ecstasy. So that is the mood of the Lord, to always serve his devotees. And that's what in this beautiful episode also brings forth this point, the Lord's eagerness to serve and to go to any extent to serve his devotees. And this particular verse also, Sri Balaramji is saying, whatever it takes to serve my master, he is ready to do. Even though at this juncture of time, he is in one sense a little bit chastising Krishna, but that is to assist in Krishna's wonderful leelas and pastimes. So that is our prayer and our desire and our hope, that one day we also can become a small, little, tiny instruments in the hand of Sri Guru and Gauranga and all the devotees, and serve in some capacity. So that is each one of us, prayer for each one of us. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for your patient hearing, and please forgive if there are some shortcomings or anything. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.